This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Looking back to think forward on the Iraq War.
I take the fact that he develops weapons of mass destruction very seriously.
The United States knows that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. The UK knows they have weapons of mass destruction.
Which could be activated within 45 minutes, including against his own Shia population.
I apologize for the fact that the intelligence we received was wrong.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Despite explicit warnings, the consequences of the invasion were underestimated. Planning and preparations for Iraq after Saddam Hussein were wholly inadequate. We have concluded that the UK chose to join the invasion of Iraq before the peaceful options for disarmament had been exhausted.
Listening there to Contradictions and Consternation, 7 years, $14 million, and 2.6 million words later, Britain's Iraq Inquiry Committee has finally produced a report that gets to the heart of intelligence failures, the weapons of mass destruction that weren't there, and the use of that intelligence to drive much of the war in Iraq. The Chilcot Report, it's so named for John Chilcot, a retired civil servant tasked to oversee that commission, is about 6 years overdue after British Prime Minister Tony Blair stepped down in 2009. Blair's successor, Gordon Brown, set up the inquiry in 2009 to fully examine Britain's involvement in the Iraq War over the course of 12 months. At one point, Iraq war victims went so far as to threaten to sue over the report's release. John Chilcot said today that Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein posed no imminent threat when the U.S.-led invasion was launched in March of 2003, and that while military action against him, quote, might have been necessary at some point, the strategy of containment could have continued for some time. Chilcot said that former British Prime Minister Tony Blair was warned of the risks of regional instability and the rise of terrorism before the invasion of Iraq, but pressed on regardless. And the UK failed to appreciate the complexity of governing Iraq and did not devote enough forces to the task of securing the country in the wake of the invasion, he added. The people of Iraq have suffered greatly, Chilcot said. But this assessment bears directly also on the suffering of veterans, the UK soldiers who fought in Iraq, and US troops.
We need to accept that war is not the solution to the problems the world faces in the 21st century. We need to come up with other ways of sorting out our problems.
That's Ben Griffin, founder of Veterans for Peace UK. He served with the British Special Forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. He attended a rally with fellow veterans today after the Chilcot report found that the invasion of Iraq was based on flawed intelligence and assessments that went unchallenged. The U.S. has never had an official investigation into the legality of the Iraq War, much less into the torture of prisoners at Abu Ghraib prison or elsewhere, although 11 soldiers were convicted of related crimes in a military tribunal. More than a decade after U.S. troops landed in Iraq, do we have a national consensus on the war, its reasons, its motivation? Was it, as presidential candidate Bernie Sanders called it, the worst foreign policy in U.S. history? Is this undeclared war, is there a case to be made by U.S. soldiers in the same way the U.K. is looking at the invasion of Iraq, as an instance of something we might call political fraud? Christopher Goldsmith served as a sergeant with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division from 2004 to 2007.
You know, I think that what this report that's being released today means to a lot of people who served in Iraq, not just Americans, but across the allied countries, is that we're finally getting a responsible view of what we were actually involved in. You know, for me, when I enlisted in the Army, I signed my contract at the end of 2004, and at that time, most people still believed that Saddam Hussein had an active weapons program, that he was actively seeking nuclear weapons capabilities.
And people believed that because that was the government's message.
Exactly. You know, but they also falsely believed, which the government never said explicitly, that Saddam Hussein had some involvement in September 11th. And being a New Yorker, you know, being 16 years old and able to see the smoke of the smoldering towers from my hometown, you know, that's one of those things why – that's one of the reasons why I didn't hesitate to enlist in a combat MOS and fight in Iraq.
So what would it mean if, you know, Bush's excuse was George Tenet said it was a Hail Mary on the intelligence that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And his response to the U.S. government was basically, well, you know, we believed it at the time. This Chilicot report seems to suggest that, no, that's not enough, or maybe you didn't believe that at the time, and that means we sent our soldiers into battle for, you know, fraudulent reasons, essentially. What does that mean to you, and what can you do about it?
You know, I personally am not going to do anything about it. I wouldn't want to reopen those old wounds, you know, beyond simply just, you know, processing it. But I think that, you know, part of democracy is people being held responsible for their decisions as leaders.
If you don't do anything, there's no accountability.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're living in a political era with you know, everyone's obsessed with emails right now, and everyone's obsessed with the four Americans that we tragically lost in Benghazi. You know, and for me, as someone who served in Iraq, I can't help but feel like I was forgotten, and that my brothers, the sacrifice of my brothers and sisters in Iraq, were forgotten. You know, there was literally more than 1,000 times more American deaths in Iraq. The decisions that led us to invade that country should be closely analyzed. I would love to see our Congress, you know, do a similar investigation. Now, as far as you know, what people need to recognize is that this isn't an indictment. It's the British government, in a nonpartisan way, has examined history. And the lessons of history are important. You know, I, as a veterans advocate, you know, want to make sure that our military is used in a responsible way, because I've seen the human cost, not just on the American side, but on the side of, you know, those that we are supposedly liberating. I've seen the suffering firsthand. You know, this weekend, there were well over 100 deaths in Baghdad. And it's hard to separate our invasion from those deaths. You know,
you're an Iraqi, there is no separation.
Exactly.
So getting back to the issue of, you have struggled with PTSD. There are comrades of yours in arms who have lost arms and legs, who are sitting wondering, you know, is there a civil issue at least to be pushed, not for damages or to, you know, allow you to be rich, but at least to force the government to be held accountable to the question of, all right, you didn't declare a war. You said there was X, Y, and Z in Iraq. You said there was this sort of involvement with terrorism. You know, somebody's going to have to answer for that. There's a British soldier who may take that case. If one does, do you think an American soldier should do it?
You know, I think that out of the millions of Americans who've served in Iraq, I think that there's bound to be a handful who would want to move forward with that type of thing. I mean, I just found out that a friend of mine who kind of disappeared off of Facebook a few weeks ago is in inpatient treatment, and he's one of those folks who lost a hand, who, you know, really was blown to bits. I didn't find out that he was in inpatient treatment until just yesterday, after a suicide attempt. And, you know, this is the type of thing that's become the new normal for many Iraq veterans. And, you know, I do think that someone needs to be held accountable. And if it's, you know,
Christopher, I understand you're not going to do it, and I don't want to open wounds with you. But I think in the abstract, because you say this is an issue of democracy, and I grant you that, if you were in the courtroom and Donald Rumsfeld was on the stand, what would you ask him as a witness?
You know, I would ask him to it's a complicated one. I have a hard time right now feeling like the folks who are responsible for having led us to war truly have appreciated the suffering that they have caused the American service members, and the sacred trust that I feel is betrayed. You know, what I would love to see is someone like Donald Rumsfeld advocating for increases to the VA, you know, budgeting. It's, as a veterans advocate right now, I face members of Congress who are concerned about cost. And it's so infuriating to me that paying for the damages to the physical and mental being of those who enlisted in a time of war is something that Congress is concerned with the cost, whereas the invasion is something that everyone seemed to be okay with just jumping to conclusions and not being concerned with the outcome.
And everyone in America is complicit with that, I think, because I think everyone in America went with the government's assessment here. There were some people who voted against the war, but I think the consensus was at the time that this was something that the American military needed to do, and it had the support of the American people, and it had the support of Congress. Do you think we are moving in America towards an opposite consensus, that now, so long after 9/11 and so long after the invasion in 2003, that people, and we've heard some of the rhetoric in the campaign, that people are much more likely to say this war was a mistake?
Yeah, I think that people have recognized that that the war started under false pretenses and it was a mistake. And what's, you know, like I said before, what's infuriating to me is that now taking care of veterans is a cost issue. You know, I keep hearing that. I've always heard that slogan, freedom isn't free. You know, people love to talk about freedom isn't free. And what they tend to mean when they say that is, oh, well, we've paid in blood for our freedom. But, you know, I say freedom isn't free, then pay your damn taxes. You know, you shouldn't be upset about a tax raise when you allowed our soldiers, our Marines, our airmen, our sailors to go into war for over a decade, and then not get the most premier care at the VA when they come home. You know, I think that Americans have a responsibility to make sure that we do everything that we can to heal the wounds of war. And part of that is, I think, doing an investigation similar to Britain's, to really take an introspective look and say, how did we get here, and what do we do to prevent this type of mistake in the future?
Christopher Goldsmith is a sergeant who served in the Army's 3rd Infantry Division in Iraq. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.